All right. I'm just switching over the microphone over here. Turn the microphone over to whoever the microphone guy is. And here we go. Bam, boom, boom. And we're here. Welcome to the Saturday Night Special, episode 22. Back to our original background here. Always cool to be here. First of all, cheers, you guys, right there. Hope you are having a good night. Got a little White Claw tonight. Got a little green bandana, too. I was trying to get the ends to like be a little bit more like whoop, but it's not working that way. So hope you guys are doing good. It's been a crazy week, a fun week, lots of nutty stuff going on. Cheers to you guys, first and foremost, of course. Wow, gotta love the claw. Become a big fan of the claw over the pandemic here. So once again, it's been a fun week, lots of cool stuff to talk about. I'm sure you guys have a lot of great questions, as you always do. I think the big news right now, of course, is that AEW did over a million viewers this week, which was pretty crazy. And we have had over a million viewers a few times, but it's been, I think, since week two. So it's been quite a long time. And we've built this up during the pandemic to where we're at a million. Very, very proud of all of the people, guys and girls behind the scenes and in front of the camera, behind the camera, all that other great stuff too. So congratulations to everybody. And the crazy thing was that the segment with Jake and Jericho, Hager and Jericho versus Janella and Sunny Kiss, I think the end of that match, the last few minutes of that, was the highest rated segment of any segment on a Wednesday night this year. It did, I believe, 1.2 million. I think it's like 560,000 people in the demo and 5.2 million. Or sorry, 1.2 million, which is huge. So congratulations to all involved. And that just proves that I am the million viewer man. That's going to have to be my new T-shirt. Chris Jericho is the million viewer man. Really, really love that match. We're going to talk about that match. But before we do, I want to welcome back our sponsor from last week, Postmates. So you guys know that before the pandemic, I was traveling a lot. And AEW was in a different – and sometimes AEW was in a different city. And sometimes when you're on the road, it's just easier to have food delivered to your hotel. And I love Postmates even more right now because it's given what's going on in the world – so when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. It's a really cool way to, get food wherever you're at. And, I think the coolest thing about Postmates is they've created non-contact deliveries. So right now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door, like my hotel. They just drop it off there by design. So you don't ever actually have to talk to anybody or see anybody if that's not what you're into. They also have Postmates Pickup, which my family uses here at home. So we can have takeout from some of our favorite places delivered right to our house. Same thing. We try to order local, support local businesses at least once a week, probably twice a week, three times a week now with my kids using Postmates so much. We want to support our neighborhood restaurants during the pandemic as long as it continues. We don't know when it's going to be done. Hopefully it starts to open up even more as it more than it has. And Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier by picking up everything you need from Walgreens and 7-Eleven as well. Once again, dropping it off right outside your door. So just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. Once again, right to your door. And for a limited time, check this out. Postmates is giving you guys the Sexy Beast Saturday Night Special viewers, the hundreds of thousands of you that have joined us over the last few weeks. They're going to give you $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. So think about that. Start your free deliveries, download the app, and use my promo code. If you want to start the free deliveries, use the promo code is Saturday Night. That's promo code Saturday Night. And you'll get $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Okay, think about that. Anything you need, Postmates will take care of it for you. So don't forget it. So you see the crawl down here. My gosh. Sorry about that, guys. Postmates. And the promo code is Saturday Night for $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. So if you order 7 times and the delivery fees are $100, you don't have to pay a dime. So remember, you just got to download the app and get anything you want to eat from Walgreens, from 7-Eleven, whatever it may be, and use that promo code Saturday Night for $100 in delivery credit for your first 7 days. We're going to leave that crawl there if you guys check it out. And forget the promo code, which is not hard to forget. It's Saturday Night. Of course, don't forget our other sponsor, the number one selling wrestling book on Amazon right now, Wrestling with Joey Licious. There you go. Joey Quesada wrote this book. It's kind of part fiction, part nonfiction. Joey is not a wrestler. He's a drummer, a very accomplished drummer. He wrote a great book called Start with a Dream a few months ago, and he made this one. He wrote this one during the pandemic, Wrestling with Joey Licious, kind of his dreams of wanting to become a wrestler and all the different people and characters he comes in contact with, including Mick Foley, Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper. So there you go. Check this book out if you're looking for something fun to read, Wrestling with Joey Licious, and go download the Postmates app and use the promo code Saturday Night for $100 in delivery credit for your first 7 days. All right, we've paid the bills. Now let's get to the fun. We were talking about the match the other day. I really enjoyed working with Joey and Sonny. As a matter of fact, I wanted to work with Sonny, I believe, in week three in AEW when I did the match with Darby Allin, which was cool. But my first initial idea was to do something with Sonny Kiss. And we ended up using Darby instead. So to have the match with Sonny was a lot of fun. Very interesting. Different vibe with Sonny from any other character in AEW. And I think that there's something really cool there and unique there, like I said. And also, too, the fact that we haven't really utilized Sonny a lot in Dynamite. Obviously, he had the great match with Cody. But the tag team with Janelle and Sonny against Hager and Jericho, I think, worked really great. It was a fun kind of a no DQ match. And, of course, that was kind of we tell stories in AEW. So the week before, I beat the crap out of Janella. And then, you know, he gets a little bit of retribution kind of in the no DQ match to do a little bit more of the stuff that he likes to do. And I think it worked out great. So obviously it worked out great because we did 1.2 million. So, yes, the million viewer man is back. Here on the Saturday Night Special. All right, let's get to some questions for you guys. Could you tell the Jim Cornette Dairy Queen story? Cam Dennis from Facebook. Could you tell the Jim Cornette Dairy Queen story for those who have never heard it before? I've always loved that story. Well, contrary to popular belief, I don't dislike Jimmy Cornette. He's getting on my nerves a little bit. I think he needs to kind of tone it down a bit. You know, he's kind of the grumpy old man, get off my lawn, get your wrestling off my lawn. But he's not half as tough as Clint Eastwood is, but I do like Jimmy. And this was back in 1994 when we were in Smoky Mountain Wrestling and we were coming back from one of the shows that we had, kind of a smaller show, I guess, like a spot show, you'd say. And we went to Dairy Queen to get some food. And then we had a van. And in that van was me, Lance Storm, Cornette, Brian Hildebrand, late great Brian Hildebrand, RIP, a couple weirdos from California, Ron Head, and what's the other cat's name? I can't remember what his name was. He was super cool. I want to say his name was Wayne, but it wasn't Wayne. So there's a bunch of people in the van, and we pulled up and everyone's ordering a bunch of stuff. You know, there's a bunch of wrestlers in the car or people that are in the wrestling business. So everybody's hungry. And I think we ordered, you know, between the six people, probably, let's say 20 burgers. And I was trying to do my cheap ass attempt to be healthy. So I ordered a banana split, but I just wanted the banana. And they were kind of like, well, you can't have a banana split without the banana. I'm like, well, that's stupid. Then let me have a banana split, hold the split. I just need a banana. That's all I want. Along with the burgers and fries. Like I said, you get three burgers and two double fries and a Coke and a freaking banana. Like, that's going to make a difference, right? So that's what happened. And it was a long lineup at the drive through. So by the time we got to the front, it had been 20 minutes or 25 minutes or something like that. And so Jimmy was really cornery. How do you say ornery? He was getting kind of angry and impatient. And when we got to the front, the order wasn't ready. And we were filming in the back because we used to film everything on videotape back then. And he flipped out. I don't think he was in the driver's seat. I think he was in the passenger seat. It's on video. You can watch it. And so when she said it wasn't ready, he flipped out. He was a lot chubbier back then, lots of stress. I'm surprised his head didn't freaking explode for all the stuff that he went through. So, and he flipped out. He said, what are you talking about? You stupid bitch. What do you mean you're not fixing it? And that's always such a Southern term for me, fixing it. You weren't fixing the meal, like making it, right? What do you mean you weren't fixing? And she's like, I didn't think you were serious. Like, what do you mean you didn't think we were serious? We wouldn't order if we weren't fucking serious, you stupid idiot. And she's using much, much worse language than that. And then he gets out of the passenger seat and goes and tries to put his head through the drive-thru window. Like, give me that. And like, that's psycho, right? Like, you'd probably get arrested for that. And I guess the thing that really threw the lady off is when I asked for just a banana. I guess my cheap ass attempt to be healthy, she thought that we were joking. So that kind of threw everything off. And that led to this whole big brouhaha. And we were filming it in the back. And I remember I was trying to do like a spinal tap. Like, what do you mean? Do you think this is some kind of joke? It's not fun to be part of the comedy in the bus, fun to be part of the comedy bus or something like that I said. And so this became kind of a big, a sought after piece of film in the tape trader days, you know, the mid 90s. And it kind of went everywhere of Jimmy Cornette at the drive-thru. And he actually has a podcast now where he buries me every week called Jim Cornette's Drive-Thru. So that came from me. So thanks a lot, Jimmy, for burying me on the show with the name that I made up. But yeah, he flipped out, man. He was really crazy back then. He used to like smash people's windows with baseball bats and, you know, just stuff that you probably shouldn't do. I'm surprised he didn't have an aneurysm at some point, but he didn't. And now he lives to fight another day. And like I said, so anyways, cheers and kisses to Jimmy. And if you ever get a chance to see that video, it's actually really funny watching Cornette just flip out because the lady wasn't fixing it. And the reason why she wasn't fixing it is because she thought, because we just asked for a banana, that it was all a joke. Is it fun to be part of the comedy bus? Ryan Rubel, fans singing Judas is so uplifting this week. Can't wait for a full crowd. Me neither. I love the crowd singing. The only thing that people have forgotten is that we used to do two choruses. I become in. Judas in my mind. I become in. So if you go to the show this week, sing it twice. Remember that. I want to keep that going for one more round. So that's what we used to do. And I'm just glad that we have fans back too, singing it in some way, shape, or form, which is really great. All right. Boggle Ayia. Who's the guy that pukes? I want to go shot for shot with him. I think his name is Walter. If Walter's out there watching, hit up Boggle Ayia. I want to go shot to shot with you. Alex Byrne, even from Ireland, Chris. Thank you, Alex. Even to you. DX Factor. Hey, Chris. Brooklyn, NY here. I like to hear that. Always like to hear where you guys are listening from. Sloppy Joe says, Clifford! Is that what you want me to do? Levitate in the air? Metallica start playing in the background with Clifford! Oh, that's great. Love that stuff. Here's the question I was trying to find. Who's in your next big four? Mine is Testament, Exodus, Annihilator, and Overkill. Well, that's a good question, Bonsko. That's a good question. Obviously, the big four is Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer. And there's been a lot of contention with the next big four. I think generally it gets a little bit weird because do you include European thrash metal bands in there? I think off the top of my head, you would either go Exodus, Overkill, Testament for sure. Like Darren says, and then it's kind of a rotating. Is it Death Angel? They would fit the time frame and kind of the area. Annihilator, obviously. Creator would be another one. I think a lot of people would put that in there. So you have a couple different choices there. I know at one point for the very last Big Four show in New York, when Dave Mustaine got hurt, they actually had Exodus kind of in line and ready to go in case Dave and Megadeth couldn't play. But I think that's kind of the way to do it. So, wow. Pasquale from beautiful Winnipeg Beach. I think there's a great beach there. Let's see what we got going on over here. Okay. Well, this is a good one. Vamsi Nagareti. What are your thoughts on Miro's debut? I think it's great to have him. We had discussed having Miro come in a few months earlier when he was released. And my only thing, all of us were thinking, we just have to think of a spot for him. We need to find a place where you're not just going to bring him in to have him hanging around. You don't want that. And I think it's perfect that the best man thing, because it's also a gimmick. It's not just a one-shot deal. It's a gimmick. He's the best man. He's the best man at everything. It almost be like a Mr. Perfect thing. So Miro's always been a great guy. He's a very funny guy, which a lot of people might not know. And I think it's cool to have him with us. And also, I'm glad that he came in and that he kind of gave his mission statement, mentioned kind of indirectly WWE, you know, glass ceiling and brass ring, and take the brass ring and shove it up your ass. That was my line. He couldn't believe he'd be allowed to say it. He's like, really? Can I say it? I'm like, yeah, you can say whatever you want here. No problems here, baby. And then we leave it there. We don't go back, and this is not a place that's constantly bashing anybody else. I mean, obviously, when you come from another company, when you come from WWE, you have to acknowledge the fact that you came from there. You know what I mean? That you have to acknowledge the fact that there's a history there. But other than that, you say your piece and you move on. So I think it's great to have him. I've always been a fan of his, and I think he's another guy that for some reason, whatever reason, kind of fell through the cracks there that they're going to regret letting go. But we got him, and we're excited. All right. Alberto Calderon, the match you remember most when you were in Mexico. There's quite a few. I think the one that I remember the most, there's one I had with Ultimo Dragon. I think it was for the NWA Middleweight Championship. And it was in Arena Mexico. And it was really long. I mean, they gave us like 20 minutes or something like that. And I thought that one was really good. Another one of my favorites, I remember, is me and El Dandy versus Negro Casas and Asai, Ultimo Dragon. Which I think went like, I'm going to say 60 minutes, but it was not 60 minutes. It was something like 45 minutes or whatever. And at the end of the match, the fans all throw money in the ring. And when they throw money in the ring, that means that they like the match. And so you go around afterwards and you have a, like almost like a solo cup, but it's a beer cup, and you pick up all the money and put it into the cup. And then you go, hey, you want some, you got some more, you got some more. And people throw more money in. And then you add it all up, and then you divide it by six in that case. Why? Because there was four guys in the match and two referees. You got to include the refs. The refs take care of you too. So we divided. I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it was like 800 pesos or something. It was quite a big chunk of change divided by six. It was like 120 pesos each. But, you know, at the time, that was – good chunk of change. You go buy a nice dinner with that or so. It's probably about $50 American. So it was no small feat. You know, if you're getting paid 1,000 pesos and you get an extra, 120, 200 pesos, that's a 20% bonus for having a great match. So always love working with Negro Casas. He was one of my favorites. El Dandy, Bestia Salvaje, Silver King and Tejano. I think they both passed away. God bless both those guys. Cesar and Johnny. Dr. Wagner was killer, Dr. Wagner Jr. So lots of good memories from Mexico. Some great, great workers there, you know, that you would not expect, because obviously Mexico, that's all just flipping and flopping and flying. It's not. There's some great psychologists there wrestling-wise, a great psychology. Emilio Charles, he was great too. So God bless all those guys. I follow Negro on Instagram, and I'm always trying to get him to comment and get him to say hi, but I can't. So I'm not sure if he uses it or doesn't know it or whatever. Josh Nagy, what did you take away from interview with Eddie Kingston? Eddie Kingston is my best friend that I never met until a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, a month ago. Had no idea who he was. No idea whatsoever. I'm not sure I even heard the name. Like I said, when I first heard he was coming, I actually for a quick second thought they meant Eddie Edwards. So, but what a great guy. Lots of fun to be around. Very driven. I like his work. His promos are great. I guess he's just one of those guys that kind of slipped through the cracks over the years. That never got the big break that he deserved. But I'm glad to see him. You know what I mean? So glad to see him with us, and glad to have him with us in AEW. got a long future, and I think he's going to be a huge baby face if you wait and see. I think at some point he's going to be the – you never want to use the term Austin, but it's like just every man, but it's not Austin. There's only one Austin, and there's only one Moxley, and, you know, only one whoever you want to compare. But I think he's got kind of that blue-collar appeal, which translates, and he knows how to make it translate. So what about AC/DC news? I heard that AC/DC was supposed to get back together with Cliff Williams and Phil Rudd and Brian Johnson. Angus, of course, and Stevie Young. And I heard they were supposed to do a tour this summer, as in now, until the Rona hit. And apparently they're doing a record, which is a bunch of riffs that Angus and Malcolm had written. So Malcolm will actually appear on the record, like riffs that they had recorded and played but had never released. So I think that's pretty cool. I would love to see that. And you know, I'm a huge AC/DC fan, so hopefully soon we'll get a chance to do that. All right. How was working with Kenta, Hideo Itami, and Shinsuke Nakamura live in Japan? Loved it. I always loved those kind of later years working in WWE in Japan. I had a great match with Neville, who's now PAC. It was the first time, we'd ever been in the ring together. Same thing with Finn Balor. We had a great match. First time we'd ever been in the ring together. Same with Nakamura. I actually requested to work with him. And when we went back to the States, I remember telling Vince, like, you got to use this guy, get him out of NXT. Like, I appreciate the fact that you want to build him in NXT, but you know, we got to bring him into the main roster to where, you know, we can do something with him. Like I love the fact he's here, but I would rather, you know, I'd rather have him here wrestling, you know, than NXT. So, and Tommy, we worked a few shows. That was fun. But yeah, it was always cool. Cesaro, I had a great match with him there. So I really enjoyed working in Japan with WWE. Had a great three-way with Rollins and Moxley, who was, of course, Dean Ambrose at the time. And that's what we were saying. Like, it was a three-way. And let's do the best opening match. The best opening spot ever in a three-way. And it's like, how are we going to do that? And we put together some really cool, crazy bits and funs and flip flops and flim flams, and it was killer. So always enjoyed going to Japan. Still do. The match I had with Tanahashi in January, which seems like it was 100 years ago now, was one of my favorite matches I've ever had. So Boogle's back again. Boggle, how do you get Flat Earthers Conspiracy folks on Talk is Jericho? What's your process for selecting a guest? Just whoever's around. I kind of have a great reputation now of having a lot of paranormal guests on Talk is Jericho. And I really appreciate that. I've kind of become a paranormal foundation, a paranormal pundit nowadays, you know, now that Art Bell is not around anymore and that sort of thing. So I'm really, really into that. And so the Flat Earther thing, I mean, that's kind of just up to the people that want to be on, you know. And the Flat Earth has always got a lot of controversy because, listen, the guys that I have on, David Weiss and Russian Vids, I can't remember what his secret name is, like Q or something like that. They're very committed. And whether you believe it or not, if you have a question, they'll give you an answer. And I always appreciate that. Like, that's what I always love about having any of those types of guys on. I like having a wrestler on or anybody on, a comedian. Like, if you commit to what you're doing and you are 1,000% into it, then that makes for a great episode. So to me, it's like, I don't have a problem if it seems preposterous to some. If you're really into it and you believe it and you're committed to it and you have great storytelling skills, well, then let's have a conversation. So always like having those types of guys on. Justin Pettit, Chris Jericho, now that we're approaching Halloween, what are your favorite horror flicks? Well, I think the original Halloween is one. Sleepaway Camp 2 is another one of my favorites. Dawn of the Dead, the remake. Actually, I love that. I mean, there's so many great horror movies over the years that I've seen and watched and become accustomed to. There's still, like, Train to Busan. I mean, that's up there for me. And Peninsula, I've only seen it once, which is the sequel to it. If you guys haven't seen Train to Busan, it's amazing. It's a Korean zombie film where the zombies are fast, like World War Z. They move fast. They almost like they think. They have a, like a hive mentality. But it'll make you cry too. It'll make you cry as well. So I actually want to do a podcast with the Last Drive-In people, either Joe Bob or Darcy the Mail Girl. Top 10 horror flicks. It's kind of like the top 10 Stephen King podcast I did with Jojo Feeney from Conan's podcast, where we discussed what's your favorite top 10 Stephen King books. And then he lists his top 10. I list my top 10. I think it'd be good to do for horror movies as well. So we're going to work on that. Chris Riggle, AEW video game. Answer is yes. I think that Kenny is really into video games. He's into it. I know that Aubrey Edwards has a lot to do with it. So they're putting a lot of time because it has to be right. You want to make it great. You know what I mean? You don't want to make it half-assed. But like, it's like our action figure line, our tour line, a toy line. I think people have gone through the roof about how great the quality of those toys are and how cool they look. And I know they're hard to find. So I think our video game has to kind of follow in the same suit, the same element, and be something very special because people have been waiting a long time for it. So we want to make sure that it's good. Scum of a Man. Do you like Nirvana and grunge? Well, I'll tell you what. I did not like Nirvana and grunge when they first came out, even though I was totally in that demographic, as we say. I was in my early 20s. I had a lot of aggression, a lot of aggro. I was super into heavy metal, super into heavy music. And I guess Nirvana was just a little bit too dirty for me. I liked more of, I wasn't even so much a hair metal guy. I was much more into Iron Maiden and Metallica and Anthrax. And yes, I loved Stryper and I loved, you know, those types of bands, the Dokken and, you know, Rat. And, but I was kind of out of them at that point in time. You know, I got into kind of the new era of kind of the poppier metal bands like Bixter and Warrant and Firehouse. And actually the Warrant's Cherry Pie record came out this week, 30th anniversary. And the Firehouse record came out this week, 30th anniversary as well. So possible ideas for the sing-along maybe? We don't know, maybe. But so when Nirvana came out, I didn't like the fact that all my bands were just disappearing. Because of I put it directly on Kurt Cobain. I kind of consider it to be his fault. Years later, as I got older, I started realizing that Nirvana is pretty fucking great, man. Like, they're amazing. They're awesome. One of the best bands ever. And Cobain's one of the best melody writers ever. Great riff writer. Of course, the power of Dave Grohl's drums. But I think my favorite band from that scene, even though they're not necessarily grunge, is Mother Love Bone. And if you haven't heard Mother Love Bone, they were kind of the precursors to Pearl Jam. It was Stone Gossard, Jeff Ament, and Andrew Wood were kind of the nucleus of it. And they had a big bidding war. Andrew Wood was super charismatic and he was super funny, great singer. Not a great singer in a traditional way. He definitely had his own style that no one really has that I've heard since. And very, like I said, great front man. And there was a big bidding war for Mother Love Bone and their record contract. Who was going to get them? I think they ended up on Warner Brothers or something. Like 2 months before the album was released, Andrew died of a heroin overdose. So they were done before they started. And that's when the guys, Stone and Jeff, kind of said, well, what are we going to do? We've got a bunch of songs written for the next Mother Love Bone record. Well, let's find a new singer. Found this Eddie Vedder guy, and that's where Pearl Jam started. So had there been no Mother Love Bone, there would have been no Pearl Jam. If Andrew Wood hadn't have passed away, who knows what would have happened. But we're going to do a Mother Love Bone podcast with Charlie from Anthrax, Todd Kearns from Slash's band, and Marcus Guida from Death Angel, all huge Mother Love Bone fans. So if you haven't checked them out, you really should, because once again, this Andrew Wood was just a very enigmatic type of a cat. So very, very cool stuff, and one of my all-time favorite bands for sure. All right, what's your take on The Ultimate Warrior? Well, I mean, what is anybody's take on the Ultimate Warrior? If you grew up in that time frame, Ultimate Warrior was the shit. Like, especially being a metal guy, he had long hair. He came with the heavy metal. He looked heavy metal. He looked totally rock and roll. And I, you know, obviously, was he a quote unquote great wrestler? Well, that depends on what your thoughts are and what a great wrestler is. He had the crowd in the palm of his hand. He had the fire. He had the energy. Excuse me. He had the just flying by the seat of his pants, you know, just powerful, looked great. And he had some great matches. If you don't think Ultimate Warrior didn't have some good matches, watch him versus Hogan at WrestleMania 6 and watch Warrior versus Macho Man. I think it was a retirement match. Just tremendous. So, that's my take on him. I mean, he kind of got out of the business quick, a little bit of a strange duck, I guess you might say. And I never really knew him. The only time I ever met him was in WCW. The first time he was there and he came up to me. He's like, I'm a big fan of your work. And this is when I was a nobody. Like, I really enjoy watching what you do. I'm like, me? You enjoy watching what I do? Like, thanks, Ultimate Warrior. You know, I appreciate your support. But I remember that he took a cookie in catering and he crumbled it up and he smelled it. That's how he ate his dessert. He wouldn't eat the cookie. He would just crumble it up to get the essence of it and then smell it. And that was what he considered dessert. And then he put the crumbles down and I ate that shit right up. No, he was a very original person. That's for sure. Thoughts on Robert Pattinson as the Batman, asked Mike Kazminski. Well, I mean, I love Batman, probably my favorite superhero, besides Aquaman. This is pre-Jason Momoa as well. I just like Aquaman for some reason. And the Teen Titans were my other favorites, which were Starfire, Raven, not this Raven, but Raven, Robin, it's not Cyclops, what's his name, Cyborg, and the Changeling, who they gave a different name to, Beast Boy is what they called him in the cartoons. But those are the original Teen Titans. And actually, one of the reasons why I call myself Jericho was because there's a Teen Titan character called Jericho. He's the worst Teen Titan. He's got a terrible superpower. I think he can like – well, it's not a bad – I think he can enter people's bodies or something like that. And he's mute. And he looks like kind of like Art Garfunkel or something. He's got big, giant, curly, blonde sideburns and blonde, tight, curly hair. And he's kind of the, he was like the sixth member of the Teen Titans. He was kind of like the Yannick Gers of the Teen Titans. And I remember reading it going, this guy's pretty lame, but he's got a super cool name. And I'm pulling up this picture for you guys. It's going to be awesome if we can get it. But he didn't really have anything cool going for him. But like I said, to me, the name was cool. So I thought, well, maybe I'll use this name Jericho, which I thought would be kind of interesting, kind of fun. And so I did that combined with Halloween Walls of Jericho is where I got the name that I'm using with you right now. So there it is right there. There's Jericho. If you kind of zoom in on that, it's kind of a small picture. We can see kind of his curly blonde hair and he's a mute. Once you can keep that in mind, kind of a good character as a mute. So anyways, you're asking me the question about Batman. Sorry. I love Michael Keaton as Batman. I loved Val Kilmer as Batman. George Clooney, I was kind of a little bit out of it then. What's his name? Christian Bale, great Batman. So I don't know. I mean, you tell me Ben Affleck, didn't really know much about that one. So I think, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about Robert Pattinson as Batman? I mean, he hasn't done anything since Twilight. I know my wife used to be super into that show. But listen, they're not going to cast just some schmuck to play this very important character, especially when the movie's poised to make, you know, whatever it's going to make, you know, $500 million or whatever. So if the movie makers didn't believe in it, you know, they put a lot of time into it. To figure out who they're going to use as the Batman. So if the producers are for it, then I say that he's probably going to be pretty damn good. What's your favorite Stephen King film? That's a great question. See, that's my Bon Scott, which I said earlier. It's interesting because there's not a lot of great Stephen King movies. They tend to butcher them, especially in the '80s when they were just putting out a Stephen King movie, like at the drop of a hat, you know, every freaking 2 months there'd be a Stephen King movie. And a lot of them are just shite, but I think you got to go with Stand By Me has to be the best. Green Mile is up there. Misery is up there. Those are the ones that I always thought were the best ones. I also think 11, 22, 63, the miniseries with James Franco is incredible. Dr. Sleep is incredible. Part of this late career King bounty of awesome stories that we're getting. So they've done fairly good lately. I'm really still waiting for a properly done version of The Stand. I think it was pretty good. They did a pretty good job with that. And it's very much holds true to the book, so to speak. But we're waiting for The Stand. We need a great version of The Stand, because the version they have came out, like, I think 30 years ago, kind of similar to the It TV miniseries, where it's just too much stuff going on to put it on TV at that point in time, to be on NBC or whatever, and way too many details that you have to leave out. Like, The Stand literally needs, like, a miniseries. It needs like, 11, 22, 63, where you have 8 hours. Like, you need 8 hours to tell this story. I feel like, once again, like I said, I think It did a great job because they had two movies of 2 hours each and change. So I'm waiting for that for The Stand. And I think I've heard that they're going to do that, but then there's a pandemic and there's the Rona, and who knows what's real and what's not real. But that's what I'm waiting for. Have you ever wanted to wrestle Hayabusa? I did. I wrestled Hayabusa many times, although his name wasn't Hayabusa. His name was Izaki, E.G. Izaki. I think it's spelled E-Z-A-K-I. And that was my very first tour of FMW. I wrestled with Izaki, and he was a young boy at the time. But he kind of looked like Elvis a little bit. Had the hair, like the Elvis hair and the sideburns, always smoking. But he was one of the guys that they knew even back then that we have to protect this guy. Even though he's a young boy, we've got to protect him. So we worked quite a bit and always had good matches. Who am I kidding? I was a young boy too at the time. And then in 1992, when I went back to FMW for the stadium show that I went to, that was Sudden Impact, which was Lance Storm and I was the first version of it. Lance didn't want to go back to FMW. So we did a Kawasaki stadium show, and it was me and Eric Fries. And I guess they couldn't pronounce Eric Fries. They called him Kevin Hool, which is his real name. Kevin Hool. Kevin Hool was not a Lance Storm in ability or look. And if you go back and see the video, it still bothers Lance to this day that people think that he was Kevin Hool or Eric Fries. It was not Lance Storm, it was Eric Fries. And we wrestled with, I can't remember what the other young boy's name was, but Izaki was in that match as well. So I wrestled Izaki and Kawasaki Stadium. And I remember too, they said at the time, when Izaki does a moonsault, make sure that you make the save. Because in 1992, a moonsault was a big deal. Just not anybody did it. I think it was only Great Muta that did it at that point. Maybe like Leaping Lanny Poffo or something like that. So we're having the match. Izaki hits me with a big moonsault. One, two. I realize that my partner's not coming, so I kick out. He kind of – and I was like, what the fuck happened afterwards? And he told me that he was so enamored with watching himself on the big Tron. Like, he couldn't believe, like, oh my gosh, I'm on this big screen, that he forgot to come make the save. Look, Ma, I'm on TV. Oh shit. You had one job. So anyways, always loved working with Hayabusa in Japan, in FMW. And then in Mexico, he was there too when I was there. And we used to see each other all the time. There's a really great picture of us together backstage at Arena Mexico. So God bless the man. He had a rough, you know, a rough fate happened to him. But, and also too, when I came up with the Mimosa Mayhem match, like I told you guys before, I kind of based it on some of those old exploding barbed wire death matches. And when I was going through watch them, Hayabusa was in one, and he was a huge star for FMW. I just feel that he I think he deserved better. That's a shitty thing to say, but had he come in through the New Japan system or the All Japan system, I think his stardom would have gone from the top guy in FMW to like off the charts in one of those bigger companies. He was that good. He really was. All right. What do you think about Samoa Joe? I would love to see him at AEW. So would I. I don't know if Joe is hurt right now or if he's not feeling good. But I'll tell you what, man. He is just an amazing wrestler. He's a great talker and just a hell of a guy as well. I would love to have him in AEW. But I don't know if he wants to go. I mean, he might be hurt, and he's a great commentator as well. So if he's going to come in AEW and steal my possible commentating job, then forget that. Christian Nicola, who are your top five uprising stars in AEW? Let's see. I guess it depends what you mean by upcoming, uprising, like ones that are currently on TV, ones that will be future world champions, because, I mean, I got to go Darby Allin. Darby Mills always pops in my face, which, of course, is the singer of the Headpins, if you're Canadian. Darby Allin, Jungle Boy. I mean, Orange Cassidy has to be in there, I mean, for sure. Sammy Guevara. And who else is in there that I can think of? There's so many great, amazing performers in our company that are just poised to becoming huge stars. Let's see. I'm using my thoughts wisely here because, like I said, there's if you're going to only pick five, then you want to choose one that's going to be. I mean, Thunder Rosa. I think Thunder Rosa will be a big star for us. Penelope Ford. There's another one. All of them will be huge, 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 huge stars. Okay, what else we got? Once again, these things just go by so fast. So I have a bunch of questions lined up, and they just disappear quickly. So I'll do my best. Okay. Are you a fan of Van Murray? What's her best song? I don't know. Who isn't a fan of Anne Marie? All right, here we go. Larry Francis, how long did it take for you to record the Noah's a Four Little Audio? This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do was an audiobook. So you write your book, and that takes a long time. Doing an audiobook takes even longer because you literally have to sit there for hours reading your book, and you have to enunciate, and you have to make sure that you get everything right. And you have to make sure that it's all, perfectly, like I said, eloquent and all that sort of stuff. So it's really hard. And it takes, like I said, it takes a long time. So that's why my third book, The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea, they asked me to write. They asked me to do an audiobook for that. And it was, to me, I was like, sure. And then the deal wasn't good. And there was a lot of things that I didn't like that they wanted me to do and, fly to LA for a week. And I'm like, well, can't I just stay in Tampa? I'm like, well, you can't do that. I'm like, well, why can't I do that? And I was like, fine, it's just not worth it. Let's just get somebody else. Or let's just not do this. If I will get somebody else. They do that sometimes. They get like professional readers, and they got some guy who was like a Shakespearean actor, but he didn't really know like kind of the, the nuances of the stuff that I was talking about, so to speak. So he was like, and then Rey Mysterio did his 619 onto his hapless opponent or whatever that is. I'm like, I got so much flack for the 619. I didn't read it. So get off my cloud, man. So, oh yeah, MJF. Sorry, Chris Neely put that as far as an upcoming star. But MJF, I feel, is already there, to be honest with you. So, hard to do an audiobook, but I hope you guys enjoy it because I'm sure it's a lot of fun to listen to. What's the worst wrestling name you've ever heard? Well, I don't know. This is a lot. My very first wrestling tour in FMW, there was a wrestler called Pandita who was a panda. And he literally came to the ring with a panda costume on. He was a luchador. Alvarado or something. His name was a great guy, whatever. But Pandita, that always bugged me, Pandita. This is probably the worst stage name that I'd ever heard. There was a guy in Calgary. And he wrestled there for years. And he had to change his name. His name was Ken Smith. And he was looking for a show business name to become a wrestler. So he changed it to the Bakfo Box Office marquee moniker. Changed it from Ken Smith to Ken Johnson. I mean, what more can you say? Justin E., when are you getting another guest on the special? I don't know, because my ratings for when I had guests on the show were lower than the ratings when I just do them myself. So I kind of thought that maybe you guys want to just hear me talk on my own. If you want another guest, then let me know. Other than that, I think you guys like hearing my ridiculous stories. Yeah, well, every week or whatever we're doing them now. We're not going to be doing them every week because the pandemic was going during the summertime. Now my kids are back in school. There's a lot more kind of things and activities going on the weekends and stuff like that. So not every week for the special, but probably, you know, every couple weeks at least, and I'll do the most that I can. All right, the new Striper CD is outstanding. Your favorite song on it. I love it. They did a really cool idea. They did a listening party. For the new record, Even the Devil Believes. And they charged, I think it was only $8 a ticket. And you go see the band, listen to the new record. It was really great. So I highly suggest it. I think they're doing it again in a few days. So if you see that, it's really cool kind of getting their take of the new record with, you know, and the listening party is always kind of the hardest thing to get in. You gotta get in. You gotta know somebody to get into a listening party, but here you can actually go buy a ticket and do it yourself. So invitation only. I love Divider. I think is great. Even the Devil Believes, the title track, Middle Finger Messiah, Blood from Above, Do Unto Others. I think my sleeper though is How to Fly. That's a really, really cool tune. So I love Striper, and we're excited to have them on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, Triple Whammy. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and sign up for the waiting list, because even though we had to we put the thing on sale, we sold out like in 2 months or 3 months or whatever it was, then we had to move the date from February of 2021 to October of 2021. And so then you have to put everything back on sale again, which is like, oh my gosh. And we did that, and people bought the cabins straight away. Once again, so it was great to see that everyone was really excited about this this triple whammy, as am I. So Striper will be there, and it's going to be fucking great. Joey Hernandez, do you like Motley Crue? Favorite album? Answer me. Jeez, that's pretty – you're pretty angry there. Yes, I like Motley Crue to a certain extent. Not my all-time favorite band, but I always – I have all the records. So I'd say for me, it's got to be Shout at the Devil or Too Fast for Love. Those are the two best. With the exception of those two, Dr. Feelgood doesn't have a bad song on it. But I also love, too, the Motley Crue record with John Corabi on vocals. I think that was their last great album. It's such an underrated record. And if you guys are Motley Crue fans and have not heard that record, like Dolph Ziggler, huge Motley Crue fan, will not listen to that record. Bubba Dudley, huge Motley Crue fan, loves that record as well. So go check that out for sure. What did you do with all that leftover mimosas? Ask if you're an alcoholic. Would you want the mimosa that I floated in for a while? yeah, I think it just got drained away. You know what I mean? Those boots, my boots really still were squelchy and squeaking the night, you know, a couple nights later. So what football soccer team do you support? Why is it Liverpool? It's not. It's West Ham. And why is it West Ham? Well, actually, first of all, it's Fulham. Fulham. Because my boss, Tony Khan, owns them. And I got super into that game where they got promoted to the Premier League. Like, and here's the cool thing for people in the States. Like, this is why I think English soccer football has the best rules. If you finish in the bottom three of your league, you get demoted down to the next league underneath. That'd be like if you finished last in the NHL, they'd send your ass to the AHL. So there's some real incentive for these players to really play well. And there's a lot of money at stake and there's a lot of revenue at stake. So when Fulham went down to the league or before the Premier League, they fought their way through and it went down to the wire one last game this season. If they win, they go to the next league and make like $300 million. If they lose, they get nothing. So I watched that game and I was flipping out. I hadn't watched an English football game like maybe ever on TV. So I was super into it, and they won in a real like nail biter. So I'm excited for Fulham, and I love West Ham for one reason only, because I grew up an Iron Maiden fan, and Steve Harris loves West Ham. And so when I was a kid, I was like 16 years old in Winnipeg, Manitoba, talking about how much I love West Ham. No idea where that even is, but go West Ham and go Fulham. love the Fiend, love Wobbly Walrus, which is great. let me see what we got here. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great questions. Thank you guys for submitting so many. And like I said, there's literally hundreds, if not thousands. Ace Mahir, do you talk to anyone in WWE? Not a lot of people, but not for any other reason other than that we're just all busy doing our own things, going our own directions and our own ways. I talk to Kevin Owens. I still text Seth Rollins once in a while. A couple of guys in NXT, Drake Maverick, Samoa Joe, Drew McIntyre, those types of guys. Talk to Edge from time to time. I talk to Vince from time to time. But as far as like someone you talk to every day, not really, because we're all in different planes and different worlds and different areas. But, you know, much respect and love to all of them there, all of them. Have you ever no-showed an event only once? I don't know if I've ever told this story before. I was in Smoky Mountain, and they used to have a bunch of smaller shows, like in small little mountain towns. Listen, that's what we were there to do. And one week, Kiss was playing in Nashville. It was 1994, the Revenge Tour. Kind of the end of the Revenge Tour. It was actually at like a Fender guitar kind of music event or something, and they were the headliners. So my car broke down. I didn't make it to, you know, Paintsville, Kentucky, or wherever the heck we were going to that day. Meanwhile, I was at the Kiss concert. And that's the reason why. I remember calling and said, I'm broken down on the side of the road. I'm not going to make it tonight. And this is from a payphone. There's no cell phones. So you call from the payphone and then fuck off. They'll never catch you again. But I think that was the only time I ever specifically no-showed an event. Like, I'm going to go do something else. And that's because I went to see Kiss, my favorite band from my favorite era. And I'm sorry that I missed the show in, like, you know, Big Bone Lick, Kentucky, or wherever the hell we were that day. Who's the biggest submission for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why is it Ronnie James Dio? Absolutely. Times a million. But there's others. There's others. I mean, Ted Nugent, Thin Lizzy, Iron Maiden, Scorpions, Ozzy on his own, Motley Crue. So many of those. Ridiculous. The Guess Who, you know. There's so many bands that should be. They've done a pretty good job over the last few years. I mean, Journey's in now, Cheap Trick. Rush, you know, Kiss, Bruce Kulick should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Eric Carr. I mean, come on, you know what I mean? Ridiculous. They can have 15 members of the E Street Band come in there, but they can't have Bruce Kulick come in. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Not happy with that at all. So there you go. All right, as we start to wind her down, what was it like being on Hot Ones? Says Sam Shapiro. It was a blast. Hot Ones is a show, a very popular show where you eat really hot, wings. Yeah, like it says, really hot wings, and you do the interview as long as you can while you're eating these very, very hot. I'm talking nuclear hot chicken wings with the barbecue sauce on them, and it was terrible. It was terrible. I just kept spitting. I had a big giant garbage can. I was just spitting, puh, puh, Awful. But yet it did like a million views or whatever. So Gorilla Press, hey, Chris, we've done an exclusive interview with Mick Foley about the creation of the Mankind Mask, the creator. I spoke with CVV. He suggested I ask you if you'd like to join me sometime. I love Mick Foley. I'm assuming by CVV, you mean Chris Van Vliet. I don't have a lot of time, but I love Mick Foley, and I'm looking forward to reading the interview. How's that? I've been a big fan since WWE days, since George Davis Vlogs and Gaming. Thank you, buddy. Is that all we got? I'm going through some of these. Glenn Lipsick says, I just finished listening to your albums. You really make my weekend complete knowing I get to come on here and listen to you. Well, thank you guys. I appreciate that. What was your reaction when you saw Sammy and Matt Hardy fall off and fall down the tables? Scared at first, waiting to see if he's okay, if they're okay. Obviously a stunt gone wrong. I just feel whenever you're falling from that high, we should have had some more tables out there and some pads on the floor. Not hurt, no matter what you hear. He did not have a concussion. He was hurt. He banged his head. But you know, the match ended very quickly after that. And you know, no one really knows what's going on in that. And thankfully Matt wasn't hurt, and he was on the show this week, and I'm sure he'll be on the show next week and for many weeks to come. So I'm glad we did not have anything bad happen there. Yes, I told Gene Simmons when No 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 by Quarantine hit number 25, I emailed him. He emailed me back right away with his emoji, because he invented that, right? Okay, I'm going to answer three more questions before we wrap this bad boy up, and we'll do the sing-along. I don't know what we're going to do, but... wow. Please do Temple of the Dog or Mother Love. Oh, Boogie Avelia. You get it all over the place. Any sing-along, ideas? Oh, someone just asked me a good one. Thoughts on Abaddon. So Abaddon, I didn't see who asked the question. There was somebody said, what are your thoughts on Abaddon? I'd like for people to see that, but so Abaddon is in our company. Darren Bradley wants cherry pie for the sing-along. That's a good idea. Vinnie Cambria says, Clifford! Abaddon is this really creepy gimmick. And she signed with us, and she's going to be a huge force in the women's division, because this looks like some kind of zombie from like Evil Dead combined with Train from Busan or something like that. So it's really cool stuff. So if you have not seen Abaddon on AEW Dark, go look for her, because she's got a great look, and it's really believable. It's really creepy, and it's actually really scary. And I'm a big fan of hers. So there you go. All right. So good point too. Holy smokes. Great call. In honor of Neil Peart's birthday, we should sing Limelight. That's really high, though. That's really high. So the professor, you knew it was going to be a bad year when it began with Kobe Bryant and the professor passing away, and just a terrible, terrible year. But God bless Neil Peart. It was 1952 he was born, so he would be 68 years old today. And if I could sing as high as Geddy Lee, we would do Rush song. But thoughts of the Chameleon Club closing. I think I touched on this last week. It sucks, because I love the Chameleon Club, and it was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It was such a fun place to play, but it's closed, and that's what happened during all of this stuff. You know, the things just closed, so there's no business. No bands are playing, so they had to close, which is a drag. But hopefully there'll be a new venue in Lancaster, because it's a great rock and roll city. Bloodgood, Out of the Darkness. We're going to have Bloodgood on Talk as Jericho very soon. Bloodgood is the second best Christian rock band besides Stryper. Abaddon needs a push. He's getting one. And there we go. Okay, so we are going to switch over to – I had to kind of switch a few things today because of some weird stuff going on with searching the library. But let's do Cherry Pie. What the hell? I think it'd be fun. On the 30th anniversary of Cherry Pie. And you can also listen to one of the greatest tours of all time was the Blood, Sweat, and Beers tour, which was Firehouse, Warrant, and Trickster. who did this great tour in 1991. And I had Bill Leverty from Firehouse, and I had Eric Turner from Warrant, and I had PJ Farley and Steve Brown from Trickster On. And they all talked about the tour. So go listen to that this week on Talk is Jericho. And we are going to now sing Cherry Pie. So hold on. I got to switch this over. I got a lot of stuff going on. I was becoming really good, really adept, shall we say, at working on all this stuff. So we're going to share the screen. Boom. Bear with me as we go back to the iTunes. Bam. Share that. And if you guys can hear this, let me know. So I'm having some technical difficulties, so everything's kind of going all over the place. But you guys can sing it. I'll just join in with you. All right. So anyways, sometimes things go a little bit cockeyed around here, but it's a Sunday special. Who cares? We're having fun, having a good time. Thank you so much for joining us this week, guys. And we are going to take it out the way we always do. There we go. All right. Let's ask some questions. There you go. Thank you guys for joining us here. Once again, so many crazy stories here. Thank you for the 1 million on Dynamite, says Jesse Moore. Thank you. Who came up with Le Champion nickname? That was me. I did that. Do you like country music? Yes, I like Luke Bryan. He's my favorite artist for sure. His drummer, Kent, is actually in Quarantine, where we scored our number 25 hit with No, No, No. Awesome as always. Have a great rest of your night. Enjoy this every Saturday night. Thank you, what you do for your fans. I appreciate that. Thank you, Robin. Chris Neely says Saturday is Jericho. You're right about that. Thank you so much. Frank Lawrence Jr., if you could have dinner with five people dead or alive, who would it be? Well, I got to have Mick Jagger, McCartney or Lennon. Where do you go? I mean, there's so many, right? Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Marilyn Monroe, maybe. Cliff Burton, Bon Scott, Angus Young. A lot of different people that would be cool to kind of hang out with if you had the chance. Let's see. Nice. Okay. Ding. Thank you, buddy. All right. Thank you for the 1 minute. We talked about that. You can't get a swing with Madonna no more. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? can AEW sign to the Rosa? Well, she didn't carry All Out all the way because I carried it. I think the idea is that she is signed with NWA. So she's with Billy Corgan right now. So we're trying to kind of work out a deal to use her and work with her more. John Mitchell, a year ago, I got to meet you in your band, Fozzy and Sacrament, Ace of Spades. Oh, I love that. It was such a good gig. That was the night before we played the Iron Maiden show at the stadium there, Bank of California Stadium. So this was kind of our warm-up gig. It was so good. Great crowd. We sold it out. I'll never forget that gig. It was a lot of fun. There you go. You knew the song, Technical Liberties Be Damned. Thank you. Perfect. Do you love baseball? If so, what team? No, but always liked Lou Brock died this week, by the way. And I was a big St. Louis Cardinals fan because I lived in St. Louis for 2 years from 1975 to 1977. And I enjoyed Lou Brock. So God bless Lou Brock. What's your favorite Maiden song? That's a hard question to answer. Power Slave, maybe? Maybe I'll say Power Slave, maybe? What's your favorite beer? I don't drink beer anymore, but I always liked Miller Lite and I liked Labatt's Blue. So there you go. My son Axon is a huge fan. He's sitting now and told me to tell you hi. Well, hello, Axon. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Good time. AW million viewers Saturday night. Jericho 1,000 in. Well, we're much more than that. So, do you like Mimosa? No, my wife does. That's where I got the idea from. Thoughts on Willie Nelson, one of the greatest of all time. I had to sing one of his songs on Celebrity Duets, Mendocino County Line, and it was not easy to do. It's very hard to sing like Willie. Trust me. All right, guys. Well, you guys have been great tonight. So many cool questions. Bro from India. The cruise gigs are a great time. Thank you so much. Love all that. You always make my Saturday night better. Thank you, Lillian. I appreciate that. Yeah. So anyways, guys, what's your favorite pizza topping? Pepperoni ground beef. Love that. It's great stuff. So we will see you guys. I'm not sure if we can do this next week, but the next time I can, you know that I will be here, and I'll be here to hang out with you. Gail, hi, Gail. Saw Blood, Sweat, and Beers tour in West Palm Beach. First time I met you was at HOB in Orlando at Firehouse, Slaughter, Warrant, and Quiet Riot concert. Well, thank you. That's very cool. I actually remember being there for that. I enjoy all those bands. You and KO carried WB in 2016. Now you're carrying a W. Thank you. I believe that. Will the Paymaker return? Absolutely. Just a matter of the right time, right place. RIP Janie Lane. Absolutely. Poor dude. Love him. Great guy. Super underrated, in my opinion. What country did you adopt the word shite from? Well, that's England, I believe. Clifford! There you go. A million viewer man. There you go. Walter apparently might be puking again. For busting ass gym. But I used to bust my ass doing yoga. Now it's just in the gym. Saturday gets interesting. You all have. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. And be safe. Thank you. Oh, yeah.